As we mentioned, every Tuesday, we hop on the 7 Line, cruise down to Morton Street, slide into the Fernandez Plaza, into the City Hall we go, and there's Mayor John Hamilton patiently awaiting us. Heck, we just visited last Thursday, but we still have a ton of stuff to do. Good afternoon, my friend. How are you?
Good afternoon. Nice to be with you, Mike. And if I may, just at the beginning, I just wanted to say, I don't say this enough, but, you know, one of the most fun things I get to do as mayor is swear in new police officers and firefighters, and I always enjoy doing that. I've done it a bunch. And one of the things I always say, particularly to police officers, is we believe in Bloomington that the more the public knows about our police officers, the better, and the more our police officers know about our public, the better. That kind of shared information, awareness of who we are, what we do, and all that's really good. That transparency is important. And that's true for the public, too. And I just want to thank you because you really help just kind of, you know, the more people know about what goes on and how it goes on, the better. And the more I hear questions or concerns and all that, the better. So I really appreciate it. I know you don't have to do this, and I appreciate you helping create that dialogue. It's really good.
Well, and I appreciate you coming on the air because you don't have to do that either. And I think the more we can get information out there, I agree with you. I think it helps. I think people, I don't think anybody wants to live in fear or uncertainty or unsurety. It's just, I don't think that's the way to do stuff. And if you don't like the information, well, that's one thing, but having it presented is another thing. You made me think of something, and now I'm scrambling because I this is how live radio and how this always works. But there is a Citizens Police Academy. Is that comes up later in the year, right? So again, if you want to learn how this stuff works and kind of how it goes on, the city provides that, right?
We do, and you know, we have the kind of the overarching resident academy.
Well, maybe that's what I'm thinking about. Are they both?
City government. We have a full city resident academy that's like 12 nights, once a week for 12 weeks, that you learn all about how the city works, and a bunch of people do that. People who end up on boards and commissions, future council members have done that, and it's really a neat way to learn a little bit about that. The police also particularly do have some programs, both, I know, particularly for young people.
Sure.
That they're encouraging getting to know about the police. And I'm not sure they have a full resident academy, but they love talking to people about what they do. There's just so much misunderstanding and rumors and misperceptions about things that the more we can share about what's really going on and what's happening and the better it is. So we welcome that from any department.
And again, the more information than the,
you know, the
comfortability.
It reminded me too, the police have been doing some roll calls out in the public where they'll do their, you know, like you'd watch on, I'll date myself, I don't know, Hill Street Blues.
There you go.
You know, whatever. You know what?
The greatest police theme song ever.
See the roll call. You can actually, there's chances to just go see a roll call. And it's really interesting. And we recommend the more involvement, the better.
Yeah, and we had coffee with a cop and some other programs over the last few years. And when we get back to school, we'll have a block party and things such as that. Citizens Police Academy, I just found this, Monday, September 4th at 6 p.m. So if that's something you are interested in, do exactly what I did. Go to the City of Bloomington, Indiana Facebook page for the police department, and you can see what's going on. It's Mondays from September 4th through November 6th, and you can learn about all of the operations. You can apply bloomington.in.gov/police/citizens-police-academy. So there you go if you want to learn about what's going on. A quick Google. It's amazing what we can – the internet. It's right there at our fingertips.
Yeah.
We talked last Thursday, and I think when we said, hey, we're going to come back Tuesday. Yeah, we'll come back Tuesday. What the heck? It's summertime. What's going on? We'll figure some things out. Let's have some fun stuff going on before we get into too much of the heavy lifting, as we always find this time of year. But it is summer. I know four Wednesdays from tomorrow, we're back at school in the MCCSC. But we still have time to celebrate and have fun and do things. And Switchyard Park back in June, I had Mike McAfee on. We talked about the great summer concert series. And we had that in June. We're going to have another one in July and another one in August. The one in July is not this week, but it's next week. So we want to give everybody lead time on getting involved with that. That's a collaboration by a lot of groups in town. But as the folks in charge of Switchyard Park, you're very proud of what's been happening out there.
We are. You know, that new venue in the park with the big outdoor stage is a new opportunity for us. And the June, I just heard today, the June event, which I couldn't go to, but is had 1,400 people at it. That's the biggest event yet, outdoor event there at the park. And we hope to break that record in July and then again in August. We'll see. But next week, as you mentioned, is a great concert. We'll hope for good weather. Please do what you can with that, and a really big couple of really fun bands. And then in August, we're already getting people who are asking about how do I get there, how do I get a ticket, all that stuff. So it's a place, you know, where these larger venues can happen. I know there's people even thinking about perhaps using that for like a weekend fenced off ticketed whole music extravaganza, which would be terrific. So It's a young park. We're still learning how to use it best.
Well, and I think to your greater point, there is no what can't go on there, I guess, would be the larger thing. Is it licensed, zoned? I don't know what the right term is, but can we dream that big?
Yeah, we can do anything. I mean, we do have restrictions, like if you sell alcohol, you have to have certain controls, which is true whether it's the Taste of Bloomington or other outdoor events like that, right? But I would love to see that park over the years ahead, you know, maybe develop some patterns of really big events that pull regionally, you know, say, hey, you know, come down and do a two-day weekend concert extravaganza down there. So, again, you know, we built the venue. The public has supported this. We want to just let everybody figure out how best to use it.
And there is plenty of room, and there's plenty of space and plenty to have ideas. And I think that's the fun part of it as well. It is so new in its lifespan that you don't say, oh, there's too much traffic. Stop putting limits on it, and we'll see what can come up. So that concert will not this Thursday, but next Thursday. How much are those tickets again, just so everybody's aware?
Oh, shoot, I don't know, Mike. I don't know.
I think they're free, buddy. I don't.
Are they?
I'm going to double check. But
I think you're right. I think you're right. You're right, right, right. I was thinking of those if we do a weekend thing like that.
Oh.
I think you're right. These are welcome. Come on in. By the way, we're also, I think we're going to be putting in some more lights in some parks to help people have evening access to something. You know, you always just got to keep refreshing it. So free next Thursday unless Mike tells you otherwise.
I like the sound of that.
Use his name.
Well, I'll take it. I can handle the heavy lifting. No, on that.
It'll be a blast. It'll be a blast.
It will be. And I will try my best, as I always do, to make sure that the weather is compatible for such activities. And, well, if you like summertime, it's going to feel like summertime. That's what happens in the middle of July. So I don't think anybody's going to be too worried about any of that. Mayor John Hamilton is our guest. He checks in with us every Tuesday and some random Thursdays as well, which we always enjoy. And something that has fallen through the cracks, and this came up a little bit, I think this was last month, but I don't think you and I have spoken about it yet. In June, the city launched a tuition reimbursement program, a pilot program, for city employees. Tell me how this came about and how it's going to work.
Thanks for asking about that. You know, just to frame, we pay for a lot of training for city employees related to their work, whether it's we actually now pay for commercial driver's licenses, we pay for all kinds of licensing, running a wastewater plant or those, and send people to conferences. But And this is part of our whole effort to continue to try to make ourselves an employment of choice, a job workplace of choice. This is just to help people get their own education desires. They could finish a high school or a college degree, and we help pay for that. You could be a bus driver, but you want to get a cosmetology license to have your, you know, a barber in the off season or something or whatever. You know, we'll help you do any kind of certification like that. And it's just a way to tell our employees we want to help you continue to, you know, grow as a person, get educated, get more skills. You could, you know, become a hack, take a class in carpentry or something. I don't know. I think we basically want to see some licensing. You got to get a passing grade, and we'll pay up to $2,500 a year for 4 years in a row.
And I think that's a very fair trade when all things are considered into that. And how many of these are available? Is it anybody that wants one? How does this work?
Yeah, I think for this pilot, we're running it for, I can't remember if it's a year or two, and it's not capped, I don't think, by numbers. It'll just be, let's see who wants to use it and how it works out. And, you know, I mean, working for the city is a great job. We have a lot of people. I enjoy giving them, you know, a 40-year certificate, a 30-year certificate, 20, 45, who've worked with us for so long, and we want to make sure we thank people. And this is just another way to make clear, you know, we want you to have a career with the city, and you can build your life in different ways there.
Well, and obviously, if you go back to school, and you can add and maybe move up in your field or whatever it is. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So that's up and running. And another interesting angle that did I miss this with you when we talked about the Redevelopment Commission and John Fernandez? Now we're going to sell some property in the Trades District. Was that always on the radar, or did I have too many fireworks on the 4th of July?
No, we haven't talked about it, and it is recent that it's actually been kind of marked and marketed out to the public and put into, you know, lot sizes and all that stuff. It's been planned for quite some time, really before the pandemic, but, you know, the pandemic changed so much and changed commercial office space, and so the new team there has put that out on the market. But we are encouraging people to, you can buy a small size lot or a large size lot, and we're talking to different individuals already and companies that are interested in that space. So we haven't talked about it, but we can play real estate broker here and say,
well, let's do it. Yeah,
a lot of good opportunities.
I didn't know you had property. What would that be, west of Rogers Street? I'm looking at the map now, which
we
is
do.
south of 11th, west of Rogers, which would be North Rogers. So that would be the southwest corner. You have the southeast corner. The northeast corner would obviously be Upland and some of the other things over there. And then the power plant would be the northwest corner,
northwest corner.
If you're scoring
at
home. The city's job is not to be in the real estate business, correct? You don't prefer to be landlords. You don't want to do any of this. Is this the main reason behind it?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, and it's maybe useful to differentiate between Trades District and Hopewell, but I inherited the Trades District. It had already been in place and purchased by the city years before I came in, and the design always was to sell it back into private sector hands, and we focused on trying to help build employment, you know, an employment center and high tech and all that stuff, and that's the goal. Now, Hopewell, which I purchased along with city council support and IU Health cooperation, I think about it a little differently, just because having that 24 acres, as we looked at whether we want to buy it or not, and I do have to say, I think about that maybe one of the best things we could do for the city in the long haul would be to say 75 years from today, whoever's in charge of this city and whatever the situation, they're going to get a chance to reimagine what they want to do with that 24 acres. Because once it's gone, you're not going to get it back.
You know, right.
I mean, it's rare. So I think I think about it a little differently. And Hopewell, since we're kind of generating a new neighborhood and housing may be a little more amenable to that. So we may look at long-term leases for some of that. And that could happen in trades too. But I think giving the city leaders in the future the opportunity to continue to manage, you know, rare holdings like that could be quite helpful.
And it's finite. We saw, I think, what the Redevelopment Commission looking at property east of Weimer Road, west of RCA Park for, what, a 6,000-house development. I know that hasn't gone through all the everything it needs to go through yet, but we're running out of space, aren't we?
Well, we space is at a premium. I mean, in a successful city like Bloomington, where a lot of people want to live and you got a lot going on, and we're a fairly dense city. I was actually randomly kind of looking at that today. We have about 3,500 people per square mile. That's pretty dense as a city, particularly for a city that's not in the middle of a great big metropolis, you know, MSA, statistical area. So we don't have a lot of space, but you just mentioned the largest undeveloped area inside the city is that area west of RCA Park and Switchyard Park and in Weimer Road area. And that's privately owned now. Private developers have bought 130 acres, and they're talking to the Plan Commission about thousands of units of housing, which I think would be fantastic, you know, to create space for people. It's a beautiful area. You got a lot of amenities near there. And so we're trying to work closely with them to make that happen and to make some affordability happen there. So it's a good mix of opportunity for people.
Well, and then I'll just tie that into the other big buzz projects that are going on around here. We know about the CIB. We talked about that last Thursday, and that moving forward because that relates to the Monroe Convention Center. And one of the other projects is the county looking to perhaps build a new jail, justice center, et cetera, et cetera. They don't have to be downtown, quote unquote, but that's another project that's going to take up a good chunk of acreage no matter where it ends up being.
Well, that's a big question, I think. I mean, we haven't talked much about the jail, and it may be helpful to think about that. If you think about the current jail, of course, it does not take up a lot of land. It's in a very urban setting right downtown on Morton and 7th. And while there is some design to say, let's build a large campus, I personally think it's worth considering a number of options for that. And I'm now participating in the county's county council created a fiscal advisory committee since the county commissioners torpedoed their advisory committee, stopped meeting. So the councilors have created their own, and they invited the city to be on it, which we appreciated. And I made a comment just a week or two ago that I felt, and not everybody may agree with this, but I felt like for our community, for every dollar that we're putting into a new jail and its operations, we ought to spend at least a dollar in new money that is stopping the need for incarceration with mental health supports, with substance use disorder services, with intervention services, even housing services, supportive services, because we, the United States continues to over-incarcerate, in my view. We are way more people in jail than any other developed country, and I think that's not because we're worse people. It's because we don't invest enough in some of the other things. So I do think there's a lot of things orbiting around that criminal justice reform, including the need for a new jail. But I don't know how big a space we need and whether we might be investing in a bunch of other stuff at the same time.
That's interesting because the prevention is, preventative medicine, I guess, would be a better way of putting it, is an interesting way of looking at it as well, as opposed to building the super Walmart of jails or justice centers where you can handle all of that. So that'll be a very interesting discussion to see how what is finally agreed upon doing that moving forward. Mayor John Hamilton is our guest today. And you have a new deputy fire chief, and he is sworn in, and we have a new deputy mayor. What the heck? Hold on, we'll start. We'll put out the fire first, and then we'll talk about your new right hand person at the city.
Well, one of my awkward conversations, it wasn't awkward really, but in Columbus, Ohio, at the Conference of Mayors meeting, was with Mark Myers, the mayor of Greenwood, who had stolen our deputy fire chief to be his new fire chief. So we wish well to Jamie Weschel, a terrific guy, longtime Bloomington Fire member and deputy fire chief, and he just got promoted up to Greenwood, which is where he did go to school, so it's a little bit of a going home to him. And we promoted Max Litwin, a terrific member of the fire department for a number of years, to be the new deputy fire chief, and that's great. It's a critical job, and he'll continue to serve with Chief Jason Moore. And then, as you mentioned, I am now headed to my fourth deputy mayor.
Is that a record? Have you set the have the mayor of Bloomington? Have you set the record with deputy mayors now?
That's a really good question, Mike. I'm afraid I don't know the answer, though I do know that this is a tough job. I mean, it's not four in 8 years is not a bad rhythm. It's not that different, actually, from like the you follow like the chief of staff to a president or
sure.
the chief of staff to a governor. It's a tough job, kind of a COO operating job, and they probably don't get as much fun as I do, you know, being in the front of stuff sometimes. So I've had the great good fortune of what will soon be four excellent deputy mayors with Mick Van Eisen, and Don Griffin, and then Mary Catherine Carmichael. And she served 7.5 years for the city and in a lot of tough spots. And I thank her for her service. And we're really glad to welcome Larry Allen for the race to the December 31st. And he's been a great member of our administration as well, and I think he'll do a terrific job. And it's a tough job. It's a lot to keep track of. They get a lot of late night phone calls and stressful things, and usually they have to talk to them before they come to me, and they bring me good and bad news. So it's not always fun.
Is it hard to find one this late in your tenure, or no, because people are invested in the process?
Yeah, that's a good question. Definitely, you know, when any employee knows I'm going to be leaving at the end of this year, 95% of city jobs or no more are not really affected by the mayor's departure, but some of them are. And the deputy mayor, you know, I brought my own deputy mayor in when I started. Mark Cruzan did that. I think John Fernandez, Tommy Allison, you generally are going to find a partner that you feel you can work with. So I think it's a job that doesn't have a lot of job security, let's just say. At this
right.
point.
So you work at the pleasure of the mayor. Isn't that how that says?
It does. And it, you know, that's different from a job if you're a housing inspector or a water plant operator or a parks department sports employee or whatever. Those are different, but this is one of the jobs that works very closely with the mayor, and I would expect a new mayor next year is going to take a look at a number of those jobs and think about it.
Now, when your tenure ends on 31 December, can Larry Allen go back to his assistant city attorney position, or how does that work? I just don't know how this sausage is made.
Yeah, that's a good question. Generally, his job will be filled probably between now and then, so that's unlikely for him. Sometimes we have an interim or an acting that then can return as we do a search for somebody, but I think for this particular example, Larry Allen's plan is to serve as deputy mayor and then do something else, not go back to what he was. But we have, for example, an interim HR human resources director who's left her spot open, and she may go back, but it kind of evolves as we watch. Our economic sustainable director just mentioned to a few people publicly today, he's going to be taking a new job in about a month, and so
who is that?
Happens a little bit here then. Alex Crowley.
Oh, okay. I just gotta keep the whiteboard going here. Flow chart.
And I actually was just talking with Carrie Thompson at the July 4th parade, and we called since, and she's got a vacation coming, I think. I don't know. Anyway, we're going to be meeting in a couple weeks, and we'll be talking about a lot of stuff like that.
Okay, I'm glad you opened that. Then I wouldn't sound silly asking it. When there is the transition, does she follow you, shadow you? Do you just have informal calls? When do you hand the keys over? How does all that work?
Yeah, well, you know, under law, I'm the mayor through midnight December 31st, and so I'm responsible for the city, and we'll take that seriously with all of my colleagues. But then on January 1st, at the turning of the clock, she is the mayor with all the legal authority and responsibility, kind of like you see the president on January 20th at noon, right? And in the meantime, though, I expect we will be talking, and in particular after the election in early November, there'll be a more formal transition process as she, and if she has people she's identified, as she expects she'll be talking to people inside city, inside government. I certainly will have an open door for that if she wants, and to get up to speed. But the actual transfer of authority happens under state law and at that striking of midnight on December 31st.
All right. Well, that is interesting, and how the transition will work. Well, you'll paint that picture as we move along through the fall and the winter. City Council gets back to work. They're on vacation the rest of the month. Then budgeting goes on. Next time we talk, we'll get that roadmap out, because that's another interesting question. People have said, hey, what influence should the mayor have? Because the budget's not for him moving forward. And I said, you know what? That's a good question. We'll talk about that as summertime rolls along as well. Stay cool, my friend. I appreciate the insight as always, and we'll do it again next Tuesday.
I hope everybody has a good week, and thanks again, Mike, for helping share information back and forth. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.